This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The U.S. Supreme Court today enters a battle testing Vice President Dick Cheney's refusal to disclose what role industry executives played in developing Bush administration energy policy. Interest in the case grew when Justice Antonin Scalia refused to recuse himself following news that he had enjoyed a duck-hunting trip with Cheney several months ago. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Before there was 9/11, there was a brewing scandal about President Bush and Vice President Cheney's connections to the energy industry and how those connections played out in the formulation of the administration's energy policy. At the start of the administration, the president put Cheney in charge of an energy task force, which after 9 months recommended a number of significant policy changes favored by the energy industry. From the beginning, the task force was the target of criticism from consumer and environmental groups and from congressional Democrats, who charged that they were shut out of the process while energy executives were invited in. And from the beginning, it was clear that Cheney was the point man and his task force a major front in a broader battle to keep more information from prying outside eyes. Here's the vice president on Fox News Sunday 2 years ago.
I've been around town for 34 years. I've seen a constant, steady erosion of the power and the ability of the president to do his job. What's really at stake here is the ability of the president and the vice president to solicit advice from anybody they want in confidence without having to make it available to a member of Congress.
That resolve wavered ever so slightly when Enron came crashing down, and the vice president conceded that he and his staff had met at least 6 times with Enron executives. But no further information about Energy Task Force contacts was forthcoming. Soon, 2 groups sued to get the information. One, the liberal environmental group the Sierra Club, the other, the conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch. The participation of Judicial Watch was more than ironic, since it had successfully filed a similar suit in the Clinton years to find out information about First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton's health care task force. Back then, a federal appeals court ruled that while the White House did not have to release information about communications with Mrs. Clinton and full-time government employees, it did have to provide information about outsiders who participated in the process. It is precisely that information that Judicial Watch and the Sierra Club have been trying to get hold of in regard to the Cheney Energy Task Force for the last 3 years. They sued, claiming that the records of the task force must be open under the Federal Advisory Committee Act. That act generally requires advisory committees to make public all records, including rosters of who attended meetings and minutes of the meetings. The act, however, does not apply to any committee that is composed entirely of full-time government employees. So the question in the lawsuit was whether outsiders, energy executives and lobbyists in this case, participated in the work of the task force as de facto members. The case was initially assigned to Judge Emmett Sullivan in Washington, D.C. The Bush administration moved to dismiss the case, advising the judge that all members of the task force were full-time government employees. But the judge refused the motion to dismiss and instead ordered a limited production of documents to test the government's claim. If those documents bore out the government's claim, he said, the suit would be dismissed. The process is called discovery, and as the Sierra Club's Alan Morrison notes, it is routine.
We don't have to take the word of government officials as being the be-all and end-all. Discovery is about getting the opportunity to cross-examine them, getting an opportunity to look at the documents and to ask questions. I thought we had learned a long time ago, beginning with Watergate, that the government doesn't always tell the truth.
Judge Sullivan restricted the discovery process to 9 basic inquiries, namely, were any people from outside government present at task force meetings or subgroup meetings? Did anyone from outside government get memos or other documents about those meetings? Were outsiders asked to comment on task force report drafts? In short, did energy companies influence the decision-making process? Although various government agencies produced thousands of pages of documents in response to the judge's order, the White House produced not one. The vice president took the position that the judge's order unconstitutionally intruded on the president's powers and his ability to get confidential advice. Cheney spoke about the case at the time on Fox News Sunday.
Time after time after time, administrations have traded away the authority of the president to do his job. We're not going to do that in this administration. The president's bound and determined to defend those principles and to pass on this office, his and mine, to future generations in a better shape than we found it.
When they say they're doing it on principle, it's the principle of their own self-preservation.
That's Larry Kleeman, who at the time was director of Judicial Watch.
They don't want to release documents that could lead to controversy and maybe even scandal.
And indeed, the president could have invoked executive privilege at this point, contending that he had the constitutional right to keep the information secret. But he didn't. Boyden Gray, who served as White House counsel in the first Bush administration, candidly admits why.
Asserting executive privilege is something akin to taking the Fifth Amendment. So it's a completely constitutionally legitimate privilege to claim, but unfortunately, Nixon gave it a very bad name. And so ever since then, White Houses have been reluctant to claim it because it looks like they're hiding something.
Now, normally at this point in a lawsuit, the administration would have to produce the documents, or accept a judgment against it, or assert some privilege like executive privilege. The Bush administration did none of those things. Instead, mid-case, it pulled what one scholar called a razzle-dazzle move and went to the appeals court for what's called an extraordinary writ to dismiss the case. The Court of Appeals, however, said that under the normal rules of the game, it had no jurisdiction yet, that the case had to go through the process like every other case, and only then could there be an appeal. Not willing to accept defeat, the Bush administration then went to the U.S. Supreme Court, which will hear arguments today. Bush administration ally Borden Gray admits it will be a tough row to hoe, but he says in cases involving executive power, the pretrial discovery orders are the name of the game.
They had ordered this extraordinary discovery, which would reveal more of the inner workings of the White House than a victory in the case would itself yield.
This case, he argues, is about presidential powers, not about government secrecy or about who the Cheney Energy Task Force consulted.
So everybody knows who they are. Indeed, it could be said that I was one of them at one point. And I was. No, that's no secret. And anybody who plays golf with anybody who's been in the White House knows what was said in the White House.
The Sierra Club's Alan Morrison disputes that, charging that the whole purpose of the administration's unusual legal machinations in this case is delay.
They surely do not want to have anyone know what actually happened at the task force. This is principally about delay, for which they have succeeded. Now it's 3 years since the case has been filed.
And indeed today, much of the Supreme Court argument will focus on whether the administration jumped the gun in appealing a lower court order mid-case. That normally is a no-no. The question here is whether the circumstances are so special and grievous that the usual rules do not apply. Only if the administration gets past that first and very significant hurdle will it be able to argue the issue it really wants the court to resolve, whether the Advisory Committee Act is unconstitutional if it involves producing documents as in this case. Boyden Gray says the Advisory Committee Act was never meant to be a method for prying into the inner workings of the White House.
It wasn't an information vehicle.
But Alan Morrison counters that the law would be unenforceable if you had to just accept the administration's word that outsiders were not an integral part of the process.
At that point, the Federal Advisory Committee Act would not be worth the paper it's written on.
A decision in the case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.